Please listen carefully.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, 365 days a year, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, as you know, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, I don't know how else to be creative today, but I'm going to give it a go-worthy podcast. Today is Thursday, June 11th, 2020.
Summers, when you put that out there, the 365-day production of Solutions News, I had this tremendous feeling of like, oh my goodness, we are doing a lot of stuff. And I like to think of it to quantify like that. I just think about it one day at a time. We're just doing it one day at a time, 1 week at a time. But you're right. We do a lot of solutions reporting.
Yeah, we are putting out content and solutions and finding a way to crawl through the murky, terrible media headline world 365 days a year, 366 on leap year. And it's amazing because I had this conversation yesterday. I am part of an alumni network for where I attended graduate school at UCLA Anderson. And someone posted a super inflammatory article in our alumni Facebook group and said, what do we all think of this? And I got angry. And I said, how dare you post this inflammatory headline from this super inflammatory site? This is specifically positioned to make people mad. You are not opening up a dialogue or trying to find solutions. You are inflaming, and that's unacceptable. Anyway, I spent pretty much my entire night fighting on Facebook, and I have to be refreshed because this morning I started my day and I turned on my Optimist Daily update and I saw solutions and not inflamed content. So it's a lot of work, Christy, but you and the editorial team deserve huge credit because that is a monumental task which is being achieved, and you guys rock.
Well, thanks for the kudos, but it's shared with you and everybody, of course. And I hope you are taking your own medicine and not allowing yourself to be inflamed. And I hope that however that conversation went, it ended up being in a productive direction.
You know, it did end up being in a productive direction. I actually continued into the conversation about understanding there was an incident with a professor at UCLA who sent an inappropriate email back to a student. And a conversation about how is this or is this not racist came up. And I was able to hearken to some of the solutions that we have written about, as well as my own reading of the book White Fragility, to explain in a measured, conscientious way about how this action and the subsequent reactions might have happened. And I had a great conversation with my son this morning, also talking about how the work that we're doing at the Optimist Daily and the work that we do as individuals is allowing us to create productive dialogues. So while I say fighting on Facebook, kind of like you and I do sometimes, where you rage and then you take a moment, take a step and put a measured response back, that's really how it went down. So I do feel like it was productive, but I would like to talk about something different today. What can we talk about today that is different?
Well, today we had a lot of wonderful headlines, and both you and I are big fans of the ocean, which is a wonderful part of our biosphere, as we all agree. And I think International Oceans Day was last week. We didn't really celebrate it on the Optimist Daily because there were so many other things going on. But today we have three different stories that are connected to the ocean. And I highlighted for my special story the headline, "The First U.S. Woman to Walk in Space Has Also Reached the Deepest Known Point in the Ocean."
Yay!
This is so this marries two of my obsessions, which is the ocean and space. So it is, of course, going to be a story that I wanted to highlight today. It's about Kathy Sullivan, who was a NASA astronaut. And 36 years ago, she was the first American woman to walk in space. She's now also the first woman to go and visit the deepest known spot in the ocean. She was part of an explorer team and expedition with Victor Vescovo, who in a special vessel went down to the Challenger Deep, which is one of the deepest places on the globe. It's 35,810 feet down, nearly 7 miles. It's in the Mariana Trench. It's located off of Guam. And this is really interesting. And I think one of the things that you don't even think about is that our oceans, our undersea, is one of the least explored regions on this planet. We know less about it in some ways than we do about outer space. So to me, this is a really, really interesting story. I recommend everybody goes and actually reads it. I think we have to look at our deep oceans. It'll help us understand the surface level. And as the ocean is changing due to the changing climate, the acidification, we have to really take that seriously, because I think 3 billion people get most of their protein from the sea. And so many of our humans live on the coastlines. And this is just a really challenged part of our biosphere right now. And I think we really need to focus on that. It's also 3/4 of the planet's surface. So having an oceanographer who's also been in space, I think this is really interesting.
I love it. You know, she refers to herself hybrid oceanographer and astronaut. And when you look at the stars at night, you feel the vastness and expansion that is out there. And often you can feel the exact same thing when you look at the ocean. There's just this very therapeutic, expansive experience, both looking at the stars and the ocean. And I love that she got to dive into both of them. Yeah. To your point, Christy, the ocean contains 99% of the world's biosphere. Diving into it, understanding how it works, and understanding how to heal it is so critical. So that's where my headline comes from. Actually, I've kind of got two, but I'll start with a deep sea dweller that has natural filtering abilities. So this is called a larvation. If you haven't heard of them, you're not alone. These are relatively unknown sea creatures surrounded by a 3-foot balloon of mucus. Yay, mucus.
Sounds gross.
Mucus in the morning. Anyway, but these animals actually play a critical role in climate change mitigation and preservation of ocean ecosystems. The Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute found that these tadpole-like creatures remove vast amounts of carbon-rich material from the water around them. When I took my vacation last week, it was 2 days in Monterey, one of my favorite places on Earth. So these mucus membranes, basically, when they become clogged, they release the mucus membrane, which sinks to the seafloor. And this happens just about every 24 hours. When it's on the seafloor, it locks carbon and traps other microplastic and pollutions are collected and basically dissolves them. The Monterey Bay Aquarium team used a novel laser system to provide 3D imaging of the deep sea animals and their gorgeous mucus filters. This is definitely an interesting thing in understanding how larvations can help heal the sea and heal the biosphere through their work. And I loved hearing about larvations and their mucus this morning. Christy, the other one that also is about healing the seabed is about an artist that sculpted a coral greenhouse and sunk to the seabed. I'll leave the majority of it for the read. You're welcome to go on the Optimist Daily to learn more about it. But a British artist named Jason Dakars Taylor used his love for sculpting to support Great Barrier Reef in Australia. And positioned at an inlet, this coral greenhouse is full of sculptures of trees and people. Instead of glass, water fills the space between the ribs of the underwater architecture. It's absolutely gorgeous. We've written stories about coral reef nurseries down in Roatan. This is another great solution to helping heal our sea.
It also provides a structure that coral and other sea creatures, sea life, can eventually inhabit. It's creating additional habitat in addition to being a really interesting piece of art, which you can go look at pictures on the website. Anyway, But it's just, it's wonderful. And from also what Dr. Sullivan was talking about is the moonscape that she experienced by looking at the Challenger Deep. When you actually have a visual image to bring in and experience, you really understand how the ocean is part of this world and the undersea is part of this world. You were talking about how observing the ocean can get you in touch with the vastness of existence. And I know for myself, that's a big part of my personal development because I grew up sailing. One of my favorite places to be in the world is in the middle of an ocean. I've sailed across the Pacific multiple times. I've sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. And there's something about being in the center of the sea on a vessel, which is a tiny, tiny speck on the surface of the ocean. And you have 360 degrees of horizon around you, watching the sun rise, watching the sun set, watching the waves and feeling the spray and just feeling connected to the vastness of the world. It puts everything in perspective. It Absolutely. Makes you realize how small our daily concerns are compared to the vastness of existence, the time that we've been here, the time that will go on beyond us. And I think that's one of the reasons that I love ocean stories. It's also one of the reasons I really appreciate space and thinking about space, because again, it gets you connected to that vastness. But getting right, undersea,
getting closer to your local stories of space and oceans. For me, my favorite place on Earth is in the ocean, is being physically in the water. I have a physical connection and a reaction to being able to swim. And I used to spend so much time in the ocean. I used to wake up every morning and run down the hill near my old house. And, you know, I was 5 minutes from head on the pillow to, you know, in the water. My life has changed a little bit. I don't get to do that as much anymore, obviously. But the 40 feet deep in the ocean for me and that suspension of physical experience, I think, is probably very much like being able to float in space. So mermaids and astronauts, that's our theme today. We've got other great stories, though. Remember yesterday I was talking about how I felt terrible because I was eating junk and just not paying attention to nutrition. I wasn't really eating junk. I just wasn't eating well. So I'm on day 3 of my green shakes in the morning. I am already starting to feel better. And there's a story on the Optimist Daily about food delivery apps helping to make our eating habits greener. So if you want to check that out, actually COVID-19 and your food delivery apps can help you make everything greener. What else do we have? We have Britain's coal-free streak that's still going as renewables beat fossil fuels.
We have a story about the Democrats introducing a sweeping federal police reform bill. And this is a good first step. We'll see how it goes in the American halls of Congress. There's an article on not so typical tips for boosting your mental and physical health. And that has some really interesting and alternative therapies that I really appreciate. One of the therapies that they recommend is actually sunlight, which is what we were talking about yesterday.
And being in the water.
And being in the water, right. This is a perfect, covers many of the things we're always talking about. There's a headline about posters that allows you to imagine different alternatives to heavy policing. And that is quite an inspirational story. I recommend go reading that.
I want to jump in. My husband and I exchanged a funny exchange last night, a funny headline last night that cracked me up. Basically, it said, here, I'm trying to look it up. This headline cracked me up, adding some levity to right now, but Democrats propose replacing all police with traveling bands of hippies singing Imagine. And
our two stories about Democrats and reform bill and Imagine alternatives to heavy policing.
Yeah, pretty much. This daily is like living and breathing this today. And we know that that is not the proposal and we know that that's not serious. So don't at me on social media, people. But sometimes there's a little humor and now you can have Imagine in your head for the rest of the day.
All right. And then also there's a article about how a global study has estimated COVID-19 shutdowns actually prevented millions of cases of the disease. So that was a win. And finally, there's a supermarket chain that has adopted some penguins to help a UK zoo recover after the pandemic shut down their majority of their revenue. So all of these animals which are living in our zoos need to be fed every day, no matter if people go and visit them or not.
Exactly. Well, penguins and mucous membranes and mermaids and astronauts, that's what you get on today's Optimus Daily Update. Thank you guys all for listening. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, you can support reader-funded, independent journalism and be a part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Thanks so much, Summers. Thank you, Amelia. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, guys. Thank you.